Have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, number 611. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Mercy on us, Christ.
pray. O God, powerful and compassionate, you shepherd your people, faithfully feeding and protecting us. Heal each of us and make us a whole people, that we may embody the justice and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
First reading is from Jeremiah 23:5-6. Jeremiah prophesied before the exile in 587 BCE. In this passage, he uses the metaphor of a shepherd to describe the bad kings who have scattered the flock of Israel. God promises to gather the flock and to raise up a new king from David's line to save Israel and Judah. A reading from Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back into their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us read Psalm 23 responsibly. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want.
The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters.
You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways for your name's sake.
For I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff take comfort.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me.
The second reading is from Ephesians 2:11-22. The author of this letter reminds his audience that originally they were not part of God's chosen people. Through Jesus' death, however, they are included in God's household of faith, whose cornerstone is Jesus Christ. A reading from Ephesians. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are also built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God.
Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him, and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you have been accused of burning the candle at both ends and in the middle? So often we hear in scriptures about the need for rest. We've heard recently about the need for Sabbath. We're given two explanations for Sabbath. That first, God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And also to remember when you were slaves in Egypt, when you had no rest, and now that you are free, you may rest and worship the God who's given you freedom. But today we're going to talk about a different kind of rest than Sabbath rest. We're going to talk about resting in Jesus. And that goes beyond just the physical rest that our bodies need and that we do not give them. We know so often that we worry about many things, don't we? Any worriers here? Michelle? Okay, a number of us will admit to that. Do you stay up at night worrying about things? Worrying about the things going on in the world, wondering how you're ever going to get everything done, worrying about your family members. So many things about which we can worry, right? And there is a lovely story in Luke's gospel. It goes like this. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Mary knew that she needed to rest in Jesus, that even though there were many things to do, what mattered most was spending time with Jesus. And despite the complaining of her sister, who knew that she needed to be the one engaged in hospitality, she needed to get the food ready, who else is going to do it, that Mary had chosen the better part. How often do we not choose the better part? How often do we not give things to Jesus and let him take care of them? When we look at our gospel lesson today, we find the 12 returning from their trip out into the world. Jesus had commissioned them, telling them to go out and heal the sick, cast out demons, and preach the good news, to preach repentance. And so they went out. Now they are returning and telling about all the things that they have done. And they're undoubtedly weary, excited, but weary. And what does Jesus tell them to do? Go back out into the world and do it again? Not quite yet. He tells them, come away and rest for a while. And that's what they do. They go away to a deserted place and they rest. But what do we see Jesus doing? We don't see him doing what he has told his disciples to do we? Even though scripture tells us he frequently got away to have some quiet time because he needed his own rest. In this situation, we see him, the crowds pressing in upon him, having compassion on those crowds who are like sheep without a shepherd. And he teaches them, and they bring their sick to him. What we're not seeing is the disciples doing much of anything. We see them leaving it to Jesus. And apparently they do what he tells them to do, which is to rest as he takes care of things. If you were here early, you heard Julie playing. What a friend we have in Jesus. A wonderful hymn that tells us to place our cares on him, to give him our worries and our concerns, to place our trust in Jesus, to do what he has promised to do for us, to know that he is ever at our side, to know that he is engaged in the world and we are simply working alongside of him, but that he ultimately is in charge. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs, all of our burdens, all of our worries, all of our concerns to bear. And what a privilege to carry those to him in prayer and to give him some of what bothers us, some of what concerns us, and to simply rest in him. As we have been going through the purpose-driven life, we see passage after passage that tells us to place our trust in Jesus. And we talk about how we say that we trust in Jesus, but do we really trust in Jesus? How easy is it instead to say, Lord, I give you all of my concerns, but let me hang on to this string. I'm going to give it to you, but I don't trust that you're really going to take care of it, so I have to hold on to my worries and my concerns instead of just releasing them and letting him take care of things. To rest in Jesus is to place our trust in him, to have confidence that he is God and we are not, and that he can take care of what we entrust to him. It is such a challenge in our busy world where we want so much to be the ones in charge, to truly trust in God and to truly allow our souls that opportunity to rest in Jesus. And because we don't do it very often, I'm going to have us practice it right now. So I'm going to ask that you close your eyes if that's comfortable for you. Just don't fall asleep. Don't rest that thoroughly. But find a place that looks peaceful and quiet. Perhaps it is right where you are in this church. Perhaps it is up on the mountain or down somewhere under a leafy tree in the valley. And even though you have many cares and many concerns, in this place you have peace. Because in this place, Jesus meets you. In this place, you hand over your cares, your concerns, your troubles, your worries into the hands of Jesus. And Jesus gives you peace. You feel surrounded by peace and love. In this place, you know the truth of Psalm 23, a psalm you have heard many, many times, but now you know it is true. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside still waters. You restore my soul, O Lord, and guide me along right pathways. For your name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In this quiet place, you have met Jesus. He has taken away your cares, your concerns, your burdens, and giving you peace. Rest for a few moments in that peace. and know that when the cares and concerns of the world seem to overwhelm you, you can turn to Jesus and hand over those cares and concerns to him and find peace. Do we have our best of the best books out? I'm not sure that we do. So, Julie, can you play our hymn of the day through once in case it's not familiar?
Thank you.
wanted to let you know that I put together a page of scripture that deals with rest, and I will ask that you pick one up if you're interested. If we run out, I can make more copies. It, of course, is not everything about rest, but it may be some scriptures that you will find helpful as you learn to rest in Jesus. Let us together profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life of the last Amen.
One in the communion of saints and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we join our voices in prayer. For the Church of Jesus Christ in this and every land, through the one who is the cornerstone of a firm foundation, join us together and build us up as a temple of mercy and peace. In your mercy,
hear our prayer. For the creation, cause new trees to be planted, restrain the melting of polar ice caps, save land from destruction. Like a shepherd tends her sheep, raise up from among us caretakers of all you have made. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the leaders of nations and heads of tribes, where peace seems far off, bring it near. Where justice seems fleeting, bring it to light. Where discord seems relentless, bring harmony. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the health and well-being of family, friends, and neighbors, heal those who are sick, especially those in our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Give courage to all who struggle with addiction. Touch with your tender care all who reach out to you in pain. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For this assembly and for the faith communities represented this week at the ELCA Youth Gathering, nurture the faith of young people as they encounter new experiences and people. Break down dividing walls and inspire collaboration among people of every age. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In thanksgiving for those who have died, make us certain that in Christ we are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints in the household of God. In your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Holy God, holy and merciful, into your outstretched hands we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that. Thank you. thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings.
Thank you. guided by Jesus.